it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, and welcome to this week's episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Just before we get started, a couple of housekeeping items for you. The National Women's Branch is holding its next Women Talks telephone conference, and if you'd like more information, get in touch with the BCA head office and someone from the Women's Branch will get back in touch with you if you're interested in attending that conference. It's on winter warmer cooking, which is a very apt discussion for this time of the year because winter is well and truly upon us. That's happening on Thursday, the 29th of June. If you'd like more information, as I said, contact the BCA head office and someone from the Women's Branch will be in touch with you. 1-800-033-660 is the phone number. Email bca@bca.org.au. Now to our feature presentation this week. A few weeks ago, I attended the roundtable on information access for people with a print disability. At that roundtable, I met a fascinating chap by the name of Dick Lunenborg from the Bartimaeus Institute in the Netherlands. He gave a really interesting keynote speech on the provision of technical equipment and products for people with multiple disabilities, especially vision impaired and cognitive disabilities. He joins me via Skype. Dick, welcome to New Horizons.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Usually when I start these interviews, I get people to tell us about yourself, so why don't you do that?
It's my daily job to make technology available for students and adults who have MDVI, and MDVI that are people with a visual and a cognitive disability. We like them that they can benefit from technology just like anyone else in a society. In my job, I wear several hats. I'm responsible for ICT for MDVI students at our institute. I'm also the co-founder of the Bartimaeus Fab Lab. That's a center where we collect and develop technology resources for MDVI. And I'm also a member of a special innovation team that runs over 20 technology projects. So that's me. I'm living in the Netherlands my whole life.
What is the general situation, do you think, for people who are blind and vision impaired in Holland?
It's pretty good. I would say they when they need, for example, additional tools or additional assistive technology, it gets funded by the government. So yeah, it's and also public transport is really accessible and reachable for people here. Yeah, I think it's quite a good situation compared to some other countries. At this moment, 80% of all our students are attending mainstream education, and they have supportive teachers who will coach the teachers in mainstream education how to address the needs of the students. So it's also we're also moving away from the institutes, and the students on the institutes mostly have some additional needs. So or sometimes they it's blended, so they are temporarily just for a short period at our institute.
Do you want to give some examples about some of the technology that that you create or that you work with to help people with multiple disabilities?
We get a lot of questions in our lab. For example, somebody is asking, I want to independently read my letters. And the problem is, if somebody is, for example, blind and has a cognitive disability, they cannot also use Braille, so they cannot handle a Braille display, so then it's difficult to read independently. So so sometimes we use existing technology like a reading machine, but sometimes they say, yeah, we want to independently stay in contact with our family, and we developed a kind of platform where they can send audio and video messages. Sometimes we use mainstream technology like yeah, I showed that also at the roundtable conference in Australia. We use the phonotonics. That's a kind of a ball what is used in the dance world, and the ball has a sensor, and when you move the ball, the sensor will translate the movements into sound. So when you move it slow, the music will go slow, and when it goes faster, the music will tempo will go faster also. And that we use, for example, to stimulate movement with people with very low cognition. So then, and when we put one sensor in the sock, and when they are on a home trainer, and then when you move slowly, the music goes slow, and when they go faster and faster, then they, yeah, the music goes more on tempo, for example. We also have deaf blind clients, and one big problem is for some deafblind clients who are born deafblind, that to know where the other person in the room is. So they, and some people are so distressed that they even harm themselves. So we created a kind of heartbeat. That's a little device what the client has, and the supporter also has that a device. And the device what the client has mimics a heartbeat, and when the supporter is coming closer towards the client, the heartbeat mimic will speed up, and when it is further away, it slows down. And on the device has a button, so then the deafblind client can press the button. And then the supporter will get a signal and then starts moving towards the client, and then the client can feel, oh, some help is on its way, because it's the heartbeat is going faster. So then these are just random examples of technology we use. Yeah.
And I think they're good examples. I noticed that a lot of people at the round table were particularly taken with the little ball with the music in it. There's a lot of uses for that. One of the issues that blind children often face is the lack of stimulus to move. As you said, particularly people with cognitive impairments and things like that, but also people with physical disabilities who need to do physiotherapy. It's a good way of engaging them cognitively in the whole process of moving their bodies. So a lot of people were quite taken by that, and we were all sort of wondering where we could get one as well. Do you find that you work mostly with children or with adults?
It's a mixture. Yeah, we have 200 pupils at the institute, and we have 600 residents, people who are living adults who live on the campus, who are mainly also have MDVI. So there's a mixture of people we support, yeah. And the nice thing with the example of that ball is that it's just mainstream technology. It's not developed for people with special needs. So first of all, it's not stigmatizing, so it's not ugly. It works because it's produced for a lot of people, and it's affordable also. So we prefer to look at mainstream solutions also. Mm. But sometimes it's not possible. Then step two is also that we look at already existing technology for visually impaired, or people, for example, with Alzheimer or with other special needs. And then another step is that sometimes you can make existing products which are almost perfect but not accessible for the needs of MDVI, we can make them accessible. So we're also doing a very interesting project of an e-learning platform specially designed for students with a cognitive disability to make it also accessible for students with an MDVI. And the nice thing is that you don't have to reinvent a new e-learning platform, which costs a lot of money and needs a lot of implementation time, and you just use a very good, successful product. So what everybody is already using. So yeah, that's also what we are doing.
I think e-learning is a really key thing these days. There's a lot of those electronic learning programs aren't accessible to blind and vision impaired people, let alone to people with cognitive disabilities. Is this something that's going to be made available all over the world?
Yeah, it's in the Netherlands. It's set up by a foundation, so it's not by a commercial party. And that was the first thing we put in the specifications, that we also wanted to have it a multilingual. So I think that for people with deaf and visual impairment, there's no solutions available in the world. So the solutions which are available should be shared also. So then we can use and benefit from each other's products.
How much recognition is it getting in the community, and where do you see this going over the next 10 or 15 years?
That's a very interesting thing. Until now, people with the MDVI are just using a little bit of technology, what is available, and we made special adapted tools for them. But the real ideal world would be that a user interface of the normal products like Facebook, YouTube, and e-learning products should become accessible. So the user interface should be accessible also for people with a cognitive and visual impairment, so they can use Spotify, YouTube, Facebook. And also another aspect is that the content also will be made understandable with probably in the future with machine learning, artificial intelligence. Like now you can use Google Translate to use a Japanese text with one press on the button, and it's translated into the Dutch language. But I think that in the future also a very complex content, a complex text, can be translated also in a more understandable text to the user's needs, what is probably in his profile. So I think that will be the far future. But to make that happen, more awareness is needed for clients and the network to the huge benefits of using technology. And there's also a big need to advocate the specific needs for this target group, because in my experience is that companies, big companies like Facebook and Google, and are quite willing to listen to other needs. But if you don't tell them your specific specifications, what is needed, then nothing gets done also. So, and I really believe in a shared creation in the future, so that can be happening. And I also think there should be more international collaboration, that people who are working in this field should share more knowledge with each other, and we should also sharing the products that we have already been developed, to not reinvent the wheel. And we really should raise awareness of them.
Dick Lunenborg there from the Bartimaeus Institute in the Netherlands. Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by email bca@bca.org.au or by telephone, as always, on 1-800-033-660. If you've got anything you'd like to have featured on New Horizons or any ideas for the program, get in touch with me, new.horizons@bca.org.au. new.horizons@bca.org.au. I'm Vaughan Bennison. I'll join you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams, of our dreams.